And so I think this is definitely a good message for us. So we're in Luke chapter 14. We're starting in verse 7. And from verse 7, we're going to read down to verse 11. I'm going to ask you, if you'll stand with me, we'll stand together for the reading of God's Word. And as we normally will do, we'll read these verses responsively. I'll read the first verse. You join me in every other verse. We'll read the last verse together as well. So I'm in Luke 14. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Together in verse 11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so we're going to preach on this idea of seeking God, not promotion. And let's ask the Lord's blessing. Now, Lord, we have prayed multiple times in the service. We've prayed close to the beginning part of the service. We've prayed offering time. Many have prayed through the week that you would bless this upcoming service. But now, Lord, as we begin to partake of your word, we specifically pray for your help. Pray for insight. Pray for wisdom. Pray for reproof, Lord. Correction. Help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be. We struggle with our flesh, and in many ways, Lord, we struggle because we don't think we struggle, and that sometimes is the struggle. We don't know really where we're at with you. But, Lord, I pray you reveal that. Point out to us the areas that need change. Encourage those, Lord, who are trying to do this and help them. And then, Lord, for all of us, we pray that you'd work in our hearts, our lives. Help us to be what we need to be, what we ought to be in Christ. Pray for these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when we think of things like this, and even in the Sunday school lesson about the golden rule, sometimes we think of it in as far as manners, behavior. This is the right way to live, and that is true. It's biblical and it's right. But this is a parable from the Bible, and because it's a parable, this is about a spiritual truth to grow, not just about proper etiquette for our behavior. We're not just trying to say be good people. We're saying we need to be Christ-like in our behavior. Now, it is tempting. Now watch this, because when we come to a verse, especially like the last verse, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. The temptation is to make this conclusion. If I want to be promoted, then I need to be humble. And that's exactly not what God is teaching. That's how we approach it. We're like, oh, this is the way to do it. I can be on top if I do it this way. That's not what the Lord is saying. That's how we want it, but that's not what the Lord is saying. The temptation is if we want to be promoted, then you need to be humble. Now watch. But wanting promotion is the antithesis of humility. If you want promotion, you're not humble. So I want promotion, so I'm going to be humble. You can't be humble because you want promotion. They don't go together. They don't mix. So if we want promotion and we think that the way to do it is to be humble, that is not what the Bible is teaching. But if that's how we think, then what we end up doing is this. We end up covering up. Now watch this, the words here. We end up covering up the ambitious pride that we have with a cloak of humility, and then fume when we're not promoted. I want promotion, so I'm going to start acting humble, thinking that'll get me promoted. I don't get promoted, and then I get mad at God. God, how come you didn't do what you said? Because that's not what he said. The whole problem lied in you want promotion. That's not what the Lord is doing. This is not like a secret way to get what you want. The humility, now watch this, true humility is never seeking the promotion. the seeking the promotion means that there's not humility there. Let me show you what I mean by it, by some verses. James chapter 4 says this, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud." Now we ought to stop there for a moment and think about that, what he just said. God resisteth the proud. Because we don't look at pride as a bad thing. We're like, well, that's just the way I am. That's how my dad was. That's how my granddad was. That's just the way I am. And it's wrong. Not if you're seeking the Lord. Because the Bible says he resists the proud. He holds you back. He keeps you at arm's length from him. He's resisting you. So it says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now notice the next phrasing. Look at verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and joy to heaviness. Look at verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humility has this idea that we are losing ourselves as we're seeking the Lord. Now, I got to clarify, because when we start talking about humility, we start thinking how we think and not how the Bible thinks. Humility isn't this, I'm a nobody, I'm just a nobody, oh, I'm nobody, oh, I'm just a nobody. You know what that's called? Pride. Because you know the key word? I'm this. Here's what we think pride is. I'm the greatest in the world. Okay, yeah, that's pride. But if I go like this, I'm not the worst in the world. That's still pride. Because it's about me. Pride is the focus on self. Whether I think I'm high or low, I'm thinking about me, and that is the essence of pride. So humility is not, now watch, is not about loathing self. Humility isn't, I hate me, I hate me, I hate me. That's not humility. That's still about me. Humility is not loathing self, but rather humility is about seeking God. And in the seeking of God, we just don't think about self. Go back with me to our text. Look with me at Luke chapter 14 and verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms. Look at verse 11. He says this, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So this idea of petty ambition, this idea of self-promotion, the Bible tells us is detrimental to our Christian growth. Now, let me explain to you what this looks like, because we'll come back to it, so when we come back to it, you'll have a picture of it. We think of it this way, in our kind of Western American way of doing things. We think of a big banquet room, big table, and trying to sit at the head. That's not how they had their feast. Often they were low tables. They kind of sat on pillows. This is Eastern culture we're talking about. And the place of significance was in the middle. You want to sit in the middle of the table so everyone had to be gathered around you so you could be the focus of attention. And so if you got there first, guess where you wanted to sit? Right in the middle. He said, yep, I see how you did that. And if you didn't get there first, whoever's sitting in the middle, you'd do one of these. Oh, yeah, I need to stretch out a little bit. And you just keep maneuvering people until you got right where you wanted to be. It's kind of like our dogs. Sorry. We don't have, my wife has two dogs. They're both Chihuahua something or another. And one's a little one, and one's a little bit bigger one. One's kind of a min-pin Chihuahua. And wherever she's at, they both want to be the place of prominence in her lap. And they would just keep wiggling and keep pushing, you know. That's... We'll cut that out of the video. And Jesus said, that's what I'm watching you guys do. Now, we may not literally be at a table doing that, but that's how sometimes we live our lives. We're always wanting the focus. We always want the attention. We're always looking for people to be looking at us. And Jesus says, and that is detrimental to your spiritual life, because you're making your life about you. And it's never supposed to be about us. It's supposed to be about him. And so the Lord is telling us, if we're not seeking promotion, we're seeking the Lord. That is the essence of the humility that he's looking for. So how do we do this? How do we seek the Lord instead of self-promotion? Well, let me give you three thoughts now from this text that we read that would help us, I think, in doing this. So go back with me, chapter 14, in verse number 8. He says this, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him." Now, I'm going to give you the point, and I'll explain to you why we're saying this. Number one is this, we need to see the greatness in others. The idea that you would go there and sit there in front or in the middle would mean that you thought that you deserved most of the honor. Rather than the Lord said, understand there's others who also deserve honor. Think about them. Think about their value, how much they deserve honor. In other words, see the greatness in others, not just ourselves. If you're sitting in the highest place, what it implies is you think that you are the most honorable instead of looking in for the honor in other people. Now, the basic truth about people is this, and we're going to build on it, but the basic truth is this, we're all sinners worthy of hell. That's the basic truth. None of us are any better than others when it comes to who we are in our standing before the Lord. We are sinners. We have broken God's law. We can point and say, well, I haven't done their sin. I haven't done their sin, but you've done your sin. And you're guilty before a holy God, and if we got our just deserts, all of us, the ground would open, we would drop straight into hell and burn there forever. That is what we deserve as sinners. But yet God loved us, and he died for us. So we understand who we are in our flesh, in ourselves. We are sinners worthy of hell. But even though that to be true, as we think now, if we level now the ground out, we're all sinners, okay, we understand that. But there is significance or honor that can be given to each other based on the value that we put on people, or maybe some accomplishment that we look to them and we value them as a person. Let me show you what I mean. Romans 12 says this, "Let love be without dissimulation." That means don't make it fakey flaky. Don't be hypocritical about it. Don't be, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then stab them in the back when they're not around. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." Look at the end of verse 10. "In honor, preferring one another." That's what we're talking about. We prefer each other. We see the greatness in others. We see the value that they have. 1 Peter 2 says this, "Honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." One of the best ways to squash our selfish pride is by seeking to lift up and honor other people. Diligently, purposely, look for ways to honestly praise others. You say, well, no one praises me. And the point is what? That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for praise. We're looking to see the greatness in others. I need to look to you and find greatness in you, because if I'm looking to you, I'm not looking to me. And my problem is I'm always looking at me, and I got to quit looking at me, so I have to look at others and say, I think there's some good value in your life. I think there's things I can praise you for. I think I can find value in your life. And by doing that, I'm getting my eyes off myself and realizing that I may not be the one who deserves the honor. Others deserve honor as well. And that's what the Lord is trying to get us to do. You know, when it comes to this idea of we're not telling you to lie or to kiss up to people. Okay, we're not saying just be fakey flaky. That's why I pointed out that verse, let love be without dissimulation. We're talking about honest praise. We're not seeking. Okay, so I'm not going to go to Joe and say, oh, Joe, you're a great person. Joe, you're a great person. Joe, you're a great person. Hey, can I have $10? Okay, we're not trying to use, we're not kissing up to people because we want something from them. What we're trying to do is lose ourselves by understanding there's greatness in others. Things we can praise, things we can say well at meal. Thank you for your faithfulness. Boy, that's a good example about loving your kids or loving your spouse. Boy, that's something you learned. What you said about the Bible, boy, that helped me. That encouraged. So we're looking for honest praise to give to others. We're not seeking their affection. Rather, we're trying to stifle our ambition, that self-seekingness that goes on in our heart. So the Bible tells us this idea about seeing the greatness of others. Let me give you a quote here. I think this is a great quote. Spurgeon said this, Charles Spurgeon. consider how precious a soul must be when both God and the devil are after it. That's a great quote. How precious must one soul be if both God and the devil are after it? If you have difficulty finding greatness, something to speak well of someone, remember this, that their soul is of great value to the Lord. How do I know that? Because Jesus gave his life for that soul. So I would tell you, quickly before you get to number two, I would tell you two things. If you doubt your value, if you sit there and just say, well, I don't think I have any value. I don't think I'm that important. You're important enough for Jesus to come and die for you. The truth of the matter is if Bill Parnell was the only person ever to get saved, Jesus would have done everything just for Bill. That's the value of Bill's soul. Now, if that's how Jesus values him, why would I not value him? You're something precious in the eyes of God. That's how we look at people. We look at people from the Lord's perspective, the value the Lord put on them. And so if we doubt our value, look to Calvary. If you doubt someone else's value, look to Calvary. Those with special needs, we see value in them. Why? Because Jesus died for them. Those who are homeless and maybe unclean or smelly or we don't just, oh, gross. We say, boy, that's a precious soul that Jesus died for. Those who maybe even are antagonistic towards our faith, even those who maybe attack us for our faith, we're still thinking they have value because they're people that Jesus died for. So we need to see the greatness in others. That helps us now to stifle our own self-seeking, ambitious self-promotion. So number one, we need to see the greatness in others. Number two, go back with me now to chapter 14. Look with me in verse 9. So we're trying not to get caught up in self-promotion, self-seeking. It's all about me. That is not the way you want to live your life if you're trying to grow in your faith. Then he says this in verse 9, and he that bade thee, and him come, the one who's going to be promoted, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. In other words, that Lord is going to come and promote the one that he wants to be promoted. So that brings us to number two. So we said number one, see the greatness in others. Number two is this, because Brother Choma said this great, very well. And I appreciate he said it. The problem is we do things with an expectation of what we're going to get out of it. And that's what gets us in trouble. I read my Bible. What are you going to do for me, Lord? I prayed. What are you going to do for me, Lord? I went to church. And we almost always have this expectation. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm doing this because I love you and I want to follow you and I want to obey you. And whatever you do with my life is up to you. That's how it should be, but we don't do it that way. So number two is this, allow God to decide on promotion. We are way too jealous, way too envious of each other. Whatever we accomplish for the Lord should be accomplished because of a love and obedience we have for the Lord, not out of pride and ambition. God's promotion on earth. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say. I'm going to help you here if you listen. God's promotion on earth is based on His purposes and His plans, not your self-seeking ambitions. But I want to be in charge. I want everyone talking about me. And that's probably why the Lord's not going to promote you, because it's about you. But even if you are doing everything the Bible says, you still may not be the one promoted in the way you think people should be promoted. Because here's what we think. We think the greatest Christian ought to be way up here and everyone's clapping for him, and the one who's no one ever claps for, he must be the worst Christian. Can I tell you this? I think heaven's going to switch everything around for us. Because we're going to find people all around this world who are godly, godly people that no one knows their name, but the Lord knows. And the Lord is seen. And that's when the promotion comes out. We want to be promoted on earth. God would rather promote you in heaven. And I much rather, instead of, this is CNN, hey Joe, you're a great Christian, let me hear from you. Instead of that, I'd rather go to heaven and say Jesus, and hear Jesus say, Joe, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm not I'm not trying to pick on you, but you happen to be the object of all my illustrations at the moment. And so we allow God to decide on our promotion. God's promotion on earth is based on His purpose and His plans, not our petty ambitions or our personal dreams. Psalm 75 says this, "Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck," this arrogant, kind of like that, "for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south," the idea comes from the north from heaven, "but God is the judge. He putteth down one, setteth up another." This is of the Lord's sovereign will as He works out to accomplish His purpose and plans. When we, as believers, understand we are somebody to God, we call that the cross death. He died for us. When we understand that who we are because of what Christ did for us, then also we must be willing. Now watch, if we understand we are a somebody to God, we must be willing to be a nobody to this world. That's the cross life. Are you more desirous to be the goat, the greatest of all time? Or are you willing to be a sheep, just a follower of your Lord? Which do you want to be? My accomplishment in this world does not determine my validation or my value. The validation of who I have as a human being, as a person, as a believer, is in my relationship to the Lord. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I don't need to get a bunch of likes on Facebook. I don't need to have people come up and, "Hey, can you sign my Bible? Hey, I really appreciate you." Okay, I'm not criticizing praise. What I'm criticizing is the seeking of the praise. God's promotion in heaven is not going to be based on our accomplishments on this earth as far as any worldly sense. It's based on our faithfulness and our humble service to Him. 1 Corinthians 3 says this, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That's our salvation. "Now if any man build upon this foundation," now this is our Christian life after we're saved, "gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Notice the different ways you can work your Christian life out. "Every man's work shall be made manifest," shall be shown, shall be revealed. "For the day," and he's talking about the day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, "for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try," shall determine, shall show the value, that's the idea, "shall try every man's work of what sort it is," not just what you did, but why you did it. "If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive reward." In other words, the gold, the silver, the precious stone, doing the right thing for the right reason. But the fire would burn up that wood, hay, and the stubble. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved." Why? Because we're secure in Christ, "yet so as by fire." So the question may be this morning, why would I want to sacrifice earthly recognition for eternal rewards? I mean, what if I could have it right now? Wouldn't that be great? Not really. The reason that we sacrifice this earthly recognition for eternal rewards is very simple. Let me show you Psalms 84. This is what David said, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is that man that trusteth in thee." Much of what we strive for on this earth matters so little in heaven. Somewhere in a future sermon, I'm going to mention this. I'm going to mention it now, and then when I mention it later, I'll tell you I mentioned it before. Can you imagine what it would be like? Let's pick on someone else. We'll go over here to Chris. Okay? So Chris has a treasure chest. You go to Chris's house. Chris invites you to the house, and Chris says, "Hey, look here." He opens a curtain. He said, "I got a treasure chest. It is full of valuable things." "Whoa, you do. Show me what you got in there, Chris." "Okay." And you look in, and it's full of things about this size. And it's all pieces of blacktop. Chris, did you fall on your head? Do you not understand value? Oh, look, Pastor White, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of this stuff. Here you go. Hold your hands out. All right, that's all right, Chris. I've seen a few roads. There's plenty of that stuff around. Could you imagine going to heaven? And we're like, oh, Lord, look at all the gold I made on the earth. Woo. And God says, have you seen the road out there? It's paved with gold. I don't really. Do you think God values gold like that? Not at all. The things we value so much here mean so little in heaven. That's why would we want to sacrifice eternal rewards for earthly recognition? Because earthly recognition is not really what we should be seeking. Luke 12 says this, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now watch what the Lord says to this man. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? When you're dead, what happens to those things? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. It means that we don't take it with us, that is true, but it also means when we're gone, that what we held so much value with is often valued very little by those who are left behind with it. We heap up, we have garages full of all the stuff we're living for, attics full, basements full, closets full, rented facilities full, and then you die, and I'm not trying to be unkind here in any way, but I'm going to just tell you the reality of it. You die, and the only thing that your family can do is find out how they can get rid of all that junk you saved up. Right. You live for it. They're living to get rid of it, because it's to them it's nothing. That we had so much value in these things. And then when you're gone, it is of very little value often. And that's why do we live for those things when we'd rather should seek promotion from on high from the Lord himself? So we're talking about this idea of seeking God, not self-promotion, not promotion. So we do that by looking at others, seeing the value that they have. We value them because the Lord valued them. We don't judge people on outward things like skin color or the house they live in or the car they drive. We value them. I wish the cross was here, but we'll point to the picture. We value them by the cross of Calvary. Jesus died for them, so they have value to us. And then we leave it up to the Lord to decide who gets promoted, who doesn't. Who gets the attention, who doesn't. Who gets the praise and who doesn't. Because it's not about me, it's about him. Now, let me put it this way. Would you be okay for the Lord to accomplish his will and what he's trying to do if no one knew your name and no one ever praised you? Would you be okay with that? Most people wouldn't. But we ought to be. We ought to say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. You came and died for this world. I didn't. It's not about me, it's about you. You be promoted. And if you need to promote someone, maybe, okay, you do 100% of the work. Someone else, you do 90% of the work. Someone else does 10% of the work. What if they get all the promotion? But that accomplishes what the Lord needs to accomplish. Are you okay with that? We should be. Because it's not about us. It's about him. It's not about our self-promotion. It's about him. Let me give you the third thought. That brings us back to chapter 14, in verse 10. He says this, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with him. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here's a third. That is this, focus on having a servant's heart. The heart that's willing to be abased, the heart that's willing to be humbled, the heart that's willing to serve, to take second place, third place, fourth place. Focus on having a servant's heart. Listen to this question. Consider this question carefully. How can a disciple be like his master without ever being like his master? Say it again. How can a disciple be like his master if he is never like his master? What do you mean? How can we be like Christ if we never are like Christ? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Okay, how does your life line up with Christ? Because if I, as disciple, want to be like my master, my Lord, then there should be some things about his life that is reflected in my life. And if my life doesn't reflect Christ's life, then maybe I'm really not a disciple. Really, maybe I'm not a Christian. I might be saved, but I'm not follower of Christ. Matthew 20 says this, "But Jesus called on them and said, 'You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister.'" Doesn't mean pastor, preacher. It means servant. That's another word for servant. "Let him be your servant. And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant." Why? Verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man," Jesus Christ himself, "came not to be ministered unto," not to be served by others, but to serve, to minister, "and to give his life a ransom for many." Chapter 23, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Very similar to what we read in Luke. John 13, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet." So you come to me and say, "Pastor White, I feel like the Lord is working in my life. I think the Lord wants me to lead me to bring me into some type of leadership position in his work. I think the Lord is working in my life. Great. Here's a towel. Go wash his feet." No, Pastor White, that's insulting. I believe God is calling me to be a leader. Good. Go wash his feet. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. And if you're not willing to be like your Lord, then you're really not willing to be like your Lord. Right. He washed the disciples' feet. A servant's role. That's what a servant did. That's not what the master did. That's what the servant did. But that's what Jesus did. Let me show you another verse. Philippians 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." If you're looking for recognition and honor in this world, then you... Now watch, let me slow down, I want you to get this. If you're looking for recognition and honor in this world, from this world, then you must not look for it in Christ. Serving Christ is not a place, is not a means by which the world somehow is manipulated to lift you up and honor you. The world crucified our Savior. How do you think they're going to respond to us? We're a servant, we're not the master. In this world, not in the world to come, that's a different message, but in this world, this anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-Christian world we live in. In this world, Christ offers us servanthood, not masterhood. Christ offers us a cross, not a crown. Christ offers us a death to self so that we may live for him. So as we consider our own Christian life, do we come to church to be served or to serve? Do we focus on what we can get or what we can give? Do we want to be the master or the servant? The teaching of the Bible isn't, here's how to succeed in life, be humble. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's what we want it to teach. Because we want to succeed. Even in sometimes, and that's why I think the Bible says he when it comes to our works, what sort it is. Because even sometimes when we're doing things for the Lord, it still has a selfishness about it. You mean if I do all these things, people start thinking I'm a great person? And that's not the way we look at it. What if you came to me and you said, "Pastor White, I really want to serve God. I said, I got the job for you. I got the job for you. Pastor White, what is it? I'm going to tell you, it's the perfect, if you want to serve, I want to serve God. I want to serve my fellow believers. I want to serve this local church. What can I do? I got the job for you. What is it? Oh, sorry, that hurt. What is it, Pastor White? Ready? Here's a bucket. Here's a mop. Here's a toilet brush. Go clean the church. But that's how God calls us in this life. We want promotion. God wants you to serve. So he's promoted. You say, well, how does it all balance out? Listen, you're not going to come out short on the stick. The Lord will take care of it. When you get to heaven, he'll balance all the accounts. It'll be worth it all then. But until then, we serve. We don't seek promotion. We seek him. His promotion. His uplifting to this world. So the teaching of the Bible isn't, here's how to succeed in life, be humble. The teaching of the Bible is this, humble yourself before God and let him choose how to use you. The Bible isn't how we manipulate God to work on our behalf. The Bible is how we surrender ourselves and serve him. So we get to the end. In the midst of this dinner, and I picture this happening, Jesus is watching these Pharisees positioning themselves, elbowing each other. He's just watching it. They all want to be in the center. If someone else comes in at the end and moves them a little bit, they start pushing the other way, or they start pushing this way. They start kind of, you know, just moving their plate over a little bit maybe. It was petty, and it was selfish. So I end with this question. Do our lives, the way we live our lives, reflect the Pharisees' petty ambition, self-promotion? Or do our lives reflect the Savior, humble and obedient servant to God and others? What does our life say about us?